Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, Corey Majors. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, it's time for some baseball discussions. I got a couple of notes to catch up with. The Texas Rangers signed Declan Cronin to a minor league deal. He's a 28-year-old who pitched with the Marlins. He had pitched with the White Sox. He's not that good. But the good news is he won't pitch for a year because of Tommy John surgery.
That's us.
He has a career 4.98 ERA and 3 wins at the age of 28. They signed him to a 2-year deal, and he'll pitch in 2027.
He didn't even pitch for Miami when Schumacher was there, right? Like, that's even worse. Like, yeah, why?
But to be fair, it was a minor league deal. Okay. And then also the Astros are going to stick with their general manager and their manager despite the late season collapse and missing the playoffs. Now, for the Texas Rangers, go ahead and give me cut number 9 if you can. I want to know what kind of challenges you think lie ahead for Schumacher and for the Rangers.
The 1-0 is hit high and deep into center field. Mullins going back, still going back, looking up. It's gone. Just over the wall between the 407 marker and 410 marker, home run number 11 for Corey Seager makes it 6-0 Rangers.
Because I do think that Schumacher has some advantages, the first being he's not coming into a brand new system. Like, they brought him here with, I think we all agree, the idea that eventually he would be the manager. So it feels like he's kind of been training for this. But on the flip side, it does feel like there's a possibility of a whole lot of roster turnover going into next season.
How much roster turnover? About half the roster?
Yes.
Half of the starting lineup?
I could see that.
All right, let's say right field, catcher, first base.
Yep. Third. I think maybe third base.
And maybe one of the middle infielders.
Or maybe both of them.
Maybe. So Wyatt Langford, Osuna are safe.
I guess.
Cody Freeman has a chance.
Yeah.
What was Higgy's deal?
What? I think he'll still be here.
Okay. And then your pitching stats. I think that there's, you know, you have to decide what kind of team you're going to be.
Yes.
Bochy talked about that a little bit.
2 years.
On our way out, it sounded like. Because if we were asking a lot of questions, they were kind of turning our attention to next year already. And one of them was, can you still be a slugging team or do you think you're going to change the philosophy of hitting?
Yeah.
And Kevin, honestly, like, you need some sluggers on your team. They also have to slug when given the opportunity.
Okay.
Adolis did not when given the opportunity this year.
So that's what I'm curious about. Because let's just go with Seager, Marcus Semien, and Jock Peterson. I'm not saying that like you would view Marcus Semien as a slugger, but he could pop some home runs. Jock Peterson, after having one of the worst seasons in modern baseball, will almost certainly opt in to his player option. Would the Rangers consider dealing him, knowing that they have to eat almost all of that money, just knowing, hey, we can save like, I don't know,
$3 to $5 million.
All right, so there's one of your sluggers.
And one of the things that you're talking about, too, is you say Skip's not completely new to this. He watched this thing.
Yes.
So if he watched Jock, a guy who his teammates seem to like, but he's not always available to his teammates. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Teammates, they're like, yeah, he's fun. But also, you want, as a teammate, you want somebody that's going to get the job done too.
Yes.
So I would say that he looked at it and he's like, I would prefer not having him in this clubhouse.
Yes.
If I'm the manager, if I'm Skip, that's what I would have been thinking.
And then Corey Seager, I could see I'm not calling.
I do everything I could to try and keep Corey Seager.
And I agree with that, but you could definitely see a world in which they trade Corey Seager.
I can. It's going to, but there's no way that you're going to find a favorable trade to you.
That's probably true. And you've already tried to trade Marcus Semien, so maybe they'll try that again, but you're probably going to have to eat at least half of that money. And so what I'm curious about is, are you going to get rid of like two of those three, maybe all three, and eat a crap ton of money? And maybe this team really does look more like a, not rebuild, because I know Chris Young doesn't want to use that word, but closer to a rebuild. The positive.
A renovation.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good way to put it. So the Rangers were listed among all the teams that missed the playoffs by The Athletic. They were power ranked as fifth. And so they had the Astros at one, then the Braves, then the Royals, then the Mets, then the Rangers.
How much of that do you think is the competitive nature of Chris Young being something that people believe in?
Believe it or not, I actually don't think that played a lot into it.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. I understand why that would be. I'm going to tell you why. Because there are three paragraphs, and the first two paragraphs are all about the pitching. And so I think it's...
If you have that, you have a chance.
I think you can look at it now, and you're like, DeGrom, Evaldi, Leiter. I'm not necessarily thinking they'll keep Merrill Kelly. Unfortunately, probably John Gray is on the way out. But you look at those three, and you're like, man... That's a hell of a start.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Now,
add in the competitive nature of Chris Young, I don't think he's going to stop looking for a way to find bats. Kevin, this year might be his freest year from the World Series roster.
Okay. To kind of piggyback along with that, Chris Young and Ross Fenstermaker said that they're going to try to figure out which players fit in this home ballpark. Now, we've talked about it. Kind of surprising, given like the historical direction of the Texas Rangers. This ballpark is not very friendly.
It plays very
to hitters. Yeah, and because we talked about it, even with like some of the drop in how far balls would go, it was disproportionate at Globe Life Field. And so that's a great question. Is it, because there are players like Josh Young and Adolis that you still control, but you can just move on from, as opposed to like Jock Peterson, you're going to take a heavy monetary hit. Marcus Semien, same, probably even Corey Seager to a certain extent. But there are other players that I wonder if they just determine maybe your game doesn't fit here.
Okay. And you say game, and I'm very interested in drilling into this a little more. What I heard and learned this year, Kevin, was the doors in left field create.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Some of the dead balls. So you don't want right-handed power hitters. You want left-handed power hitters.
Because
you're hitting those go to right field. They're away from those doors. Now, they did keep those doors closed. This is the science of a building that we're trying to figure out here.
And then you're going to get in trouble if you load your lineup with too many left-handed hitters, because you're still going to run into a whole lot of right-handed pitching, which in theory would be detrimental for you. All right. So I got a couple of other, I don't know, maybe points, maybe questions. How are you going to rebuild the bullpen from scratch? Now, I'm not saying like, hey, I need your eight people right now. But if we're talking about the challenges that lie ahead, maybe you think it is the roster turnover, but if it's not, surely it's almost entirely rebuilding the bullpen, right?
How does Cole Winn fit into this?
Because
Cole Winn had some moments this year.
I think Cole Winn deserves a spot in the bullpen.
How does Jacob Latz fit into this? Because he could be a starter.
Yes, I think they're going to give him... This is just a organizational philosophy, and you'd probably argue that all baseball teams feel this way. If all things are equal, and you believe they have the similar skill sets to do both, you're going to push a pitcher as a starter. And so I think Jacob Latz will get a real look at being a starter unless they determine that they cannot construct the bullpen they want, and that's maybe a plan B.
Because if you can do that, you're like, okay, I got a righty and a lefty that I can work with. If you decide you're going to go with them in the bullpen. And then now I need a legitimate closer, and then I need to build from there. But I think those two can be viable pieces if Latz isn't a starter. I've given up on Cole Winn becoming a starter.
Yes.
That's just like where I am.
Me too.
But I think that there's more intrigue in what those two can add to this thing. The rest of the bullpen, Kevin, I think you're going to have to pay for a closer.
Okay.
I don't think you have. Is Teoto one?
Yeah, but he's coming off a rough season. So I don't.
That's what I don't know if I can trust.
Yeah. No, I agree. So I agree with that.
That's why I think if you. But then again, I also think you pay for a closer when you know you're a contender. And yeah. I don't know that this team's a contender right now.
Okay. And so then if that is the case, what about Kamar Rocker? Now, Kamar Rocker as a starter. As a starter.
Well, if he's not traded in a package with either Semien or Seager.
And you know what? Especially for Semien. You do wonder if not only would it not be a return that you would want for Semien, are you going to have to send away things to like get some of that money off the books? Yeah,
no, I that's a high possibility.
Well, just the issue that you run into there, I think he'll get an opportunity to win a starting spot. I really do. Is that they wanted to redo some of the mechanics and there's been a little pushback. Give and take. Yeah,
okay,
pushback.
Let me ask you about that. Do you admire that? That he's not just saying, yes, please change everything about what I do.
Yeah.
That he's a little resistant to it. Because sometimes you see guys that they say, okay, let's change your mechanics. They change them so much, and then they've forgotten what they did well, and they're not good at it anymore. And then they're like, well, then I went back to what I grew up doing so well, and it helped me.
I agree with you, depending on how far it goes. Because there's been some conflicting reports, right? Like, you and I have heard a lot of the similar things of questioning, yes, being presented with evidence that you do need to make a change. If you're like, I don't see it, then you're like, it's right there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what else to show you. If that is the case, then I think that's problematic. All right, next question. Let's go off of the tenet that like maybe they really are fine with not being, but they're probably not going to be a contender and they're going to build up with some of the young kids. What is the ETA for Sebastian Walcott, especially if you made more dramatic middle infield moves? I'm not saying you need to do this whatsoever. I think it's perfectly fine to let Sebastian Walcott, who is 19, just stay in the minor leagues for a whole nother season. That's right. And then maybe trot him out for 2027. But if you were going the more dramatic route, he played well.
I'm curious.
In double A.
I'm curious. Can he play third base?
Yeah.
Like, I understand people.
I actually think third base might make more sense. He's got the arm.
Yeah. A lot of people's big concern is his size at shortstop.
Mobility. Yeah.
And you're like, well, I mean, look at Corey. Look at a lot of the shortstops right now. They seem to be longer athletes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know his athleticism. I haven't watched his athleticism enough to know, is he like that nimble dude out there? But if he can play third and you've decided to move on from Josh Jung, I'm not saying Josh Smith is your solution at shortstop.
Right.
Because everybody has a different thought on Josh Smith. I've been very adamant about mine. When the coaches tell me that he's an everyday starter, I'll believe it.
Look, and I think you look at the last 2 years, and there's no way that you can go into this season and say you're going to be an everyday starter. I think that would be a terrible idea.
And I didn't keep pushing that idea, what you just said, this past season, because I was really hopeful that he would grow. But he did have a dip at the end of the year. But if Walcott can play third and he's okay with taking on that position. That's another thing too.
That's a different discussion.
You never really know what an agent is having the argument about. If he can do that though, I'd be more than happy to see him in that spot and let him grow in it this year. The at bats are the thing that I think that you're most concerned about with a young hitter at 19 years old.
Yeah.
Is losing confidence at the plate, and you don't want that to happen.
So if I had to guess right now, it would be that Walcott spends most, if not all, of 2026 in the minors, and they keep Corey Seager. But it really does sound like all possible options have been on the table, and then that is where I think the competitive nature of Chris Young comes in. I know nobody wants to lose, but it feels like Chris Young's soul is being crushed at a different level every time they lose. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a difference in terms of what you're willing to do.
And that's why I think this is as free as he's been in a while since 23, Kevin.
Maybe
because
so.
He doesn't feel obligated to some of these guys. Their lack of success the last 2 years also relieves some of that obligation. I don't have to give this guy a chance just because he won us a World Series anymore.
And I'm going to list three specific people that I think fit in that category. Adolis, Young, and Heim.
Yep.
Those are the three. It's more than that at certain times. We've all been frustrated. We've talked about some of the frustrations with Marcus Semien. Those are the three that I think of in terms of I'm not constrained either managerial wise or like fan sentiment wise.
You are
to have to stick with
them. You're technically a second, maybe third tier player on this team specifically.
Yes.
And you have to play at a certain level to maintain that status. You did not maintain it this year.
Yeah. And so while we were in the midst of the baseball playoffs, I just wanted to throw out some of those questions. We'll have plenty of time to start to get the answers or speculate even more, but I thought that was a good place to start.
Good job, man.
Thanks.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.